We're starting a class in the Ramban's speech, Torat Hashem Temima. The Ramban Nachmanides was chief rabbi in Spain, and he lived shortly after Maimonides. Nachmanides was a doctor. The Ramban was himself a doctor, and was one of the great learned sages of his time. He wrote many works, and in this work, in the Drashat Torat Hashem Temima, he aims to explain to us the great value, or some understanding of the great value of the Torah, and what great things we could learn from the Torah. And being a Rishon, a rabbi who lived approximately 700 years ago, the Ramban sometimes will say in one sentence a tremendous philosophical insight. We usually learn, when we learn this drasha, we would learn about a paragraph and sometimes half a paragraph each week, because there were so many insights and such great philosophical depth in what he said that sometimes we had to pause and just analyze one sentence. Sometimes two words in the Ramban had such great weight in our understanding Torah philosophy. And this, in my opinion, is one of the greatest works that was ever written. It's a work that encompasses so many concepts. I'll just quickly say in a nutshell a few ideas that he will encompass. He will discuss creation and evolution. He will discuss sorcery and witchcraft. He will discuss prophecy. He will discuss what is a bat kol. He will discuss the tradition we have. He will discuss why the Torah has to describe the genealogy of different nations. He will discuss the mitzvah to annihilate Amalek. He'll discuss when will Mashiach come, and does the Torah tell us when Mashiach's going to come. He's going to discuss a tremendous amount of things in this speech. In passing. You know, all these things just in passing. And that's why this is one of my favorite works. We did this, we finished this work about a year ago. And I think that there's no one here who learned it with us. Maybe Yitzchak, yeah? No, I don't know. So I decided that it's time to do it again. It's a new year, a new semester. So let's begin. I brought a few copies. Now, one thing that happened towards the end of our learning last time was that this work came out. This Drashat Torat Hashem Tmima Hashlema V'Metukenet. The whole and fixed one. And this one is much better than all its predecessors. There are whole sections of the speech that are missing from every other work. For example, his whole section about Mashiach. You have a whole chapter about when is Mashiach coming that you won't find in the Mosad Erev Kook edition. You have a whole section that's missing from every other speech. And I only found this work. What?
Why was that?
So I am uncertain as to whether it was the censors who prohibited its being printing, or it was just sloppy work. But in some areas you see it was sloppy copy work. But a whole section like that that's omitted certainly seems to indicate that it was the censors that didn't let it be printed.
Did you get translation?
I am unfamiliar with a I don't know that there's a translation out there, but if you want to, we have the whole class online. Meaning the whole book has already been taught and is online. This is the second time we're doing the work, and we'll record it again for whatever it's worth. Maybe we'll get new insights. But this time, at least we're using the more correct version from the beginning of the work. Last time this was only put out in 2009. Meaning this was put out when we were towards the end of the book, the end of the work. So this time I have it from the beginning, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll see what new insights we see this time. So you have a bunch of copies here. That one's with commentary, then you have another two. The Mosad Erev Kook edition. That's not. Well, you guys could look on together.
Where did you buy that?
They were selling it at shul entrances, you know. Like, I don't think so, but if you want to purchase it, the printer is his phone number is 02-537-0333. Ah, but the author, better call the author, the one who put this together. His phone number is 02-582-3044. Torat Hashem Tmima, yeah. Okay. So let's begin. I don't know of any work that is consistently exciting and enthralling. And as is the case with every work, there are parts that are more interesting for one person and parts that are more interesting for another person. The beginning of this work, it deals a little bit with astronomy. The first section deals a little bit. We'll go through it a little bit quickly, simply because I don't think that we stand to gain too much from it or understand enough of it. But let's see. So, Drashat Torat Hashem Temima. Ktiv. It says in the verse, Torat Hashem Temima Meshivat Nafesh. Hashem's Torah is whole, and it rejuvenates the soul. Edut Hashem, the testimony of Hashem, meaning the Torah Ne'emana, is trustworthy. Machkimat Peti. It enlightens the fool. So that's what David HaMelech says about the Torah. It rejuvenates the soul, it is truthful, it is trustworthy, and it enlightens. Now this pasuk is really found after a series of psukim, Achal Shamar, after King David said in that chapter, Hashamayim misaperim kevot kel, the heavens recount the honor of God, Umasei Yadav Magid HaRakia, and his workings is recounted by the heavens. Yom le yom yabia omer, day to day demands of us to recount this. Ve'layla le'layla yechavedat, and night to night also implores of us to have knowledge, etc. After he goes through the different ways that nature is indicative of God's presence, Chazal u'peresh b'shivcha shel Torah. He finishes going around nature and saying how different aspects of nature are indicative of God's running the world, and then he says, but I want you to know, the best is the Torah. Torah Hashem Tmima, the Torah is whole. Ve'amar, and King David said, Shehim saperet shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Torah recounts the praise of God, yotel min hashamayim, more so than the heaven, umin hashemesh, and the sun, v'ayarech, and the moon, v'akochavim, and the stars, amuskarim ha'nirmazim lemala b'tchilat ha'mizmo, that were mentioned previously. Previously in the chapter, King David says, just look at the sun, just look at the moon, just look at the day, just look at the night, just look at the stars. All the different aspects of nature are all indicative of the praise of God. And after he spent seven psukim looking around at nature and showing how different parts of nature are indicative of God's praise, he says, but I want you to know that the Torah is more so praise of God than anything else. Uperusha inyan, and if you want to understand it, שדוד עליו השלום התחיל ואמר, that King David began and said, כי השמיים מספרים כבוד כל, that the heavens, they recount the honor of God, כי מפני שתנועת השמיים תמידית נצחית, being that the heavens are in constant motion, you constantly see the stars moving, וכל מתנועיה צריך למניע. Anything that's moving, well, what's moving it? What's causing it to move? ירו השמיים על כבוד כל. So the heavens, the fact that you look up to the heavens, you see the stars moving at night, you see the moon moving, you see the sun moving. Look at the heavens. The mere fact that you see the heavens moving, they already are indicative of the honor of El. El is the potent one, the force. If you want to understand that God has strength, that God has force, that can be seen by the fact that you see the heavens moving. Kolomar sheyesh Eloah ba'al koach. Meaning the heavens are indicative of the concept that there is a potent one who has strength. Manhigotam bechochove yaluto, he guides the stars with his strength. Al kenamar eil, that's why he says the heavens are indicative of the honor of eil, the potent one. Kmo yesh le'el yadi, just as Lavan says to Yaakov, I have the strength to harm you. How does he say I have the strength to harm you? He says yesh le'el yadi, my hand has strength. So you see the word eil means strength. So, in that pasuk, David HaMelech was saying, you want to know kavod kel, you want to know the honor of the potent one, God's strength, you could see that from the heaven. Ve'harakia, and then King David said, u'maseh yadav, and God's handiwork, magid harakia, is recounted by the rakia, the heaven. What is rakia? So our sages had a tradition, this is where we enter astronomy a little bit, that the heavens are set up, there's a system in the heavens. And Chazal attributed the orbit in which the planets travel. Chazal used to refer to that like as though it were a path, as though it were an entity. It's not just the path that the planets travel on; But they referred to it as though, if you could imagine like a train running on its tracks, you know, kids have these little train sets that run around on the track. So Chazal viewed it like that there was an actual track, that the planets revolve in their orbit. The Rakia hu agalgal elyon, so the Rakia is a reference to what we might call the higher orbit, or the more general orbit, ha'olech mimizrach lemarav, because if you view the heavens in the northern hemisphere every night, all stars, just like by day the sun moves from east to west, so too at night all stars move from east to west as well. That's the orbit that all stars take, unless you look at the northern star, and even there it's revolving a little bit in its own little orbit, but really it's not moving, it's us that's moving. Hefech tnuat acharim. Yeah.
I'm just curious, is when the Rambam learned his knowledge of exactly the astronomy of the world at the time he was around?
So what's the question?
Where did he live?
About 700 years ago.
Okay.
So the fact that if you look at the orbit and you look at the way that the stars travel, and you see that there are things that go one way, and then there are orbits that are different. There's no constant in heaven. Yes, in general, there's an orbit that the stars in heaven go from east to west. On the other hand, you look at the northern star that's barely moving, and if it's moving, it's moving in its own little circle. So, magid ma'aseh yadav shem nivraim. If you look at nature, and you see that in nature, there aren't constants. It's not like everything in nature has to go from east to west. It's not like everything is just one system. No, there are many systems within nature, and some of the systems even seem contradictory to the others. So that, magid ma'aseh yadav, that's indicative, shem nivraim, that they were created by someone. If everything in nature would go from east to west, you could say maybe there's a natural phenomenon that causes everything to go from east to west. If I throw up a ball into there, and it would go from east to west. Okay, so I'd say maybe there's one natural phenomenon that causes everything to go from east to west. But if I could look at nature and I say, okay, there are rules of nature for this and rules of nature for that, and there are contradictory rules within nature as well, so then I say, okay, so then obviously someone made all of these rules. The idea that when you look at nature and you see that each thing has its set of rules, and the rules don't all revolve around one rule, but there are different rules, there are different sciences. So that's a clear indication that there's someone here who's fashioning the rules within the different systems. Uchshesiper agadat haShemayim vaShemesh veAmar veEn Nistar mechamato. And then when King David said, look at the glory of God through the heavens, look at it through the sun, and he said, and none can hide from the heat of the sun. Amar, after saying all of that, he said, Ki Torat Hashem timimah mishivat nafesh. God's Torah is whole, and that rejuvenates the soul. Kolomar, af al pi sheilu rayot burot b'chvod ha'elu b'maaseh yadav, even though you could look at nature and see the greatness of God, it's true. By looking at nature, you could look at the small things in nature, you could look through a microscope and see the hand of God, you could look at the big things of nature and see the hand of God. But in spite of all that, aval Torat Hashem shlema yoter baze. But there's one thing which is more whole in its indication of the praise of God, in its indication of God's existence and God's might, and that is Hashem's Torah. That is more whole. And that is going to be his focus in the speech, the wholeness of the Torah. In what sense is the Torah whole? And he's going to give us seven answers to that question. The seven answers are not mutually exclusive, but they're complementary. V'hi mishivat nafesh, and the Torah is rejuvenating for the soul, u'machkimat peti, and it enlightens the fool, k'lomar shemesirah kol safek min alvavot. The Torah removes all doubt from the hearts, min hachachamim u'min haptayim, be it from the wise or the fools, she'inam mevinim malchot shamayim u'malchei hakochavim, even the fools who cannot understand the laws of science and they cannot recognize God through science, through the Torah, even the fools can recognize God. Ve'iflig b'shmach ha'Torah b'mizmor hazeh. And in this song, King David expands about the praise of the Torah. And now he goes off on a slight tangent, and he quotes us a medrash about the Torah, Vitanya. And the medrash tells us about the Torah. Chizkia b'Rabbi Chiya omer. Chizkia the son of Rabbi Chiya says, Divrei Torah, the words of the Torah, atara l'rosh, are a crown to the head, anak l'gargeret, they're a necklace for the throat, melugma l'lev, they're a cure for the heart, kilorin la'ain, they're like a soothing balm for the eye, Ritiya lamaka, they're like a bandage for a wound. Kosi karin livnei me'ayin, they're like a soothing drink for the intestines. Umapeh lechol haguf, and it heals the whole body. The words of Torah, a crown for the head, a healing, a necklace for the neck, a cure for the heart, a balm for the eye, a bandage for a wound.
What, for the eye, balm?
Yeah, something to soothe the eye. A soothing drink for the intestines, and it cures the whole heart. Atara l'rosh, it's a crown for the head, as the verse says, shenemar kli v'yatchenem l'roshecha. Anak l'gagaret, a necklace, as the verse says, v'anakim l'gagrotecha. Milugmal l'lev, as the verse says, mesamchei lev, that the words of Torah make the heart happy. So that's like a cure for the heart. Kilorin l'ayin, shenemar meirat einayim, that the words of Torah lighten up one's eyes. Ritiya lamaka, their cure for the wound, as the verse says, rifuti l'sharecha, that the Torah heals the whole body. Kosikarin livnei me'ayin, shenemar v'shikui la'atzmotecha. The verse seems to say that the Torah is absorbed in all of one's bones. Uminayin shenivlat birmach evarim shebaadam. How do you know that the Torah can be absorbed in all of one's limbs? Shenemar, as the verse says, ulchol psarom arpe. The Torah is healing to all of one's flesh. Okay, so that's the Medrash he quotes. Later on, he will come back and expand on everything he said here. He'll describe, well, what does the fool get out of the Torah? What does it mean that the fool gets things out of the Torah? What? And he'll describe, what does a kid get out of the Torah, and how much a kid understands, and what value there is to a child's understanding. All of that all of the things we're describing now are really introductory. He will come back and expand on these points. Vod amar David alav shalom, and furthermore, King David said, Galeinai v'abita niflot mitoratecha. He asks God, please reveal my eyes, uncover my eyes, and let me see the great things from your Torah. King David implores of God, Havineni ve'etzerat toratecha, give me understanding, and I will contain your Torah. King David says, Lechol tichla ra'iti ketz, rechava mitzvatcha me'od. Everything else is finite. But your mitzvos are endless. They are so great. There are many verses in Tanakh that praise the Torah, that the Torah is more precious and more valuable than anything else in the world. And it is beyond the perceptions of all the wise men and all the prophets. The Torah is greater than anyone has ever perceived. And here is the key question, and it is around this question that the whole book will revolve. We have to ask, ulefareshin, to explain, mahu hayikar v'hakavod hazeh? What is this honor? What is this glory? Umaya chokhma gdola hazot shebatorah? What is this great wisdom that's hidden in the Torah? V'lo niret pshutai. You look at the Torah, it seems pretty simple. Shafilu atalmidim korin b'viyodin otah. Even the students, you know, a guy enters Machon Meir, he never knew anything about Torah. He comes here, he learns for 2 weeks, and he understands what he's reading. And the nations also copied the Torah, and they learned it too. So what's so spectacular about the Torah? It seems to be pretty easy, right? You just get an art scroll, you read the English, now you got it. So what's so spectacular? And furthermore, look around. Other nations also have their laws and their habits and their social norms, and they seem very similar to the laws of the Torah. What's so unique here? That's the key question here. We said the Torah is whole. The Torah is greater than anything else. No one has ever mastered Torah. You can master Torah to a level, but there's always so much more to learn. Well, explain to me, says the Ramban, or I will explain to you, says the Ramban. We have to understand what is so great about the Torah, what is so unique about the Torah, and that's Be'ezrat Hashem going to be the question which we will focus on for the remainder of this work. He's going to show us point after point for the next 100 pages, over 100 pages. He's going to show us how in every aspect of life and every aspect of science, the Torah has something to say, and I don't want to take the air out of the book. There's so much to read. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll continue here Be'ezrat Hashem next week.